Episode 8. I know we are late, but we are still going to make this episode so great. Yeah, better.
It is a good word to rhyme.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. We're going to concentrate. That rhymes with number 8. And keep on going. Yeah, it's been a busy, busy start to the month of May. It was incredibly busy. And as well, so we got a little bit behind. We got a little bit more than what we needed to take on. And so we got a little bit behind. So episode 8, we're just going to do a little quick check-in. Amanda, tell me how you're doing. How's life in the world of Amanda Weldon?
I'm doing great, guys. We missed you a lot. Life Seeds has just become something that we really look forward to. And we actually did get a couple people saying, oh my gosh, did the episode not go up? What's going on? So we do apologize for the little bit of a break there. Moving forward, we're going to try to get up to a month, right, Frankie? That's the goal.
Every other week. So yeah. We're thinking that's a good track. And that's our goal. We love doing this. We wish we had more time. But the one thing that we both have really realized, there's only one Amanda and there's only one Frank.
And we like to be busy bees in the garden and here on the interwebs. Now, Frankie, you asked me how I am. I'm doing great because I took your advice. I took Nikki's advice and I stuck to my guns and I actually started a garden outside, even though we live in like kind of a condo unit, but more in a housing structure. It's on the second level of like a housing unit. And so outside on my patio, I have these huge Rubbermaid looking things that just stick right on top of the patio there. I have a vegetable garden. I have been checking on these peppers every single day, telling Scott every time they grow. I absolutely deadheaded the heck out of my kale and lettuce just to see if I could revive them back. They have come back swinging. I've eaten tomatoes from my garden. I've made pasta sauce from those tomatoes and basil, making Frankie flowers so proud, I am sure. And I have some cucumbers that I forget what kind they are. So I don't know when to take them off, but one's turning slightly yellow. So I think it is time. Frankie, this is a tip for everyone at home. Don't throw away those little tags if you are new to gardening and you are planting a bunch of different things.
It's also a good idea now in this digital world just to take pictures of the tags. So as you're planting, just take a quick picture with your phone. Then you can have like a digital kind of library of what you did even for years in the future. So it's a good reminder for you.
That's so smart.
Question that I have for you as well. In the province of Ontario, just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking snow. Now we're talking heat warning. Did you see any cold damage? How did your plants survive through that?
So I don't think I've seen any cold damage because the reason why is because I got them after that snow, which was very key for me in the gardening process. But I have been really trying to figure out, you know, when's the best time to water. And we were actually filming together the other day. And I think this is a tip that is very worthy of sharing with everyone in our audience. Frankie, when's the best time to water?
So if a plant is dry, you water it. That's the first thing. So even though you hear people that will say the best time to water, I've had people that say, well, the best time to water, and it is in the morning. I'll explain why. They'll say, you said the best time to water is in the morning, so I'm never going to water any other time. No, if you weren't home that morning, you get home and your plants are dry and they need to be watered. If they're wilted, make sure that you do water. Watering in the morning is really great because number one, it soaks in quite nicely. Number two, it'll dry up during the day. And so then number three, at night, the plants go to bed dry. And by gardens going to bed a little bit more on the drier side during the evening, we reduce slug populations. We reduce the chance of disease because a wet, dark, warm garden in summer at night will really be one that slugs will go crazy. You'll get disease. And so for better, more efficient garden, water in the morning. I never water really with an oscillating sprinkler. That's not something to do on a windy day. That's just a waste of water because it'll evaporate. So that's something that's not good. You never want to water really during the heat of the day. The water can hit the foliage and the reflection of light can actually cause more harm to those leaves. We want to try to keep water off foliage. We actually want to put it on the root itself. And the other key is a deep and frequent watering. So deep and frequent watering means soaking. Yeah, soak those plants, because especially that are in the ground, because we want their roots to stay nice and deep into the soil. And then finally, with containers, if you go to water a container and the water just goes right out of
like
it right away.
Like it's just so dry on top, it does that? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, had potting soil. So if we look at my little plant that I have here, my little friendship plant.
Little Pelia.
he needs a little bit of some water right now. So you can see how really the soil almost shrinks, right, when it's dry. And because it shrinks when it's dry, it's almost like a sponge, like a dry sponge. So you got to water it, and like a sponge, it's got to accept the water, and then you got to go back and water it again. So outdoor containers, if you're watering your hanging baskets and the water's coming right out, and then you thought, hey, I water it. No. You got to go back, let it have some time, and then go back and water it again. So those are some, you know, key little tips that are happening. I want to talk a little bit as well. You know, we talk a little bit about water. What's happening right now? In Ontario, Quebec, even into some other provinces towards the west is gypsy moths. 2021 is the year of the gypsy moth. And I've been getting emails, I've been getting phone calls of people being blanketed with gypsy moths outside their homes. Last night I had a friend call me and say, Frank, they're in my hair, they're on my clothes, I put a drink outside for, they're falling in my drink, they are everywhere. And they defoliate, right? What they'll do is they'll actually defoliate mostly oaks. So the gypsy moth is the caterpillar that I'm talking about right now. Usually feeds up until about July. After it's done its feeding in July, will turn to a grayish kind of whitish kind of looking moth. The way to control if they're on your trees and around your property, take a pressure washer, like a full-on pressure washer, wash your trees. The other thing that you can do is you can put around the base of your trees, you can wrap a little bit of a burlap around the base, like a band of burlap. And as they walk up, they'll get caught in the burlap. You take the burlap down and then you discard them. That's something you have to do every morning.
I have something on that.
Okay.
I have something on that. I actually have something to bring to this podcast, gardening wise, guys.
I'll tell a few other things and we're going to go there. So you can use the one word of warning. People have been using duct tape.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Oh, you took it.
Okay. The only thing about duct tape is the issue with the duct tape is sometimes birds and other things are getting caught in the duct tape. So maybe not the best solution. And then finally, you can apply something called BTK. It's Bacillus thuringiensis, and it's a bacteria that will take care of them. But it is an incredible year this year for bugs already. Aphids, incredible numbers of aphids. And we've had record-breaking high temperatures in Alberta, into Saskatchewan, into Manitoba, into Ontario, and now in the East Coast, we're seeing record-breaking heat warnings. So the warmth and temperatures, everybody's like, I love the warmth, but bugs just go.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
I noticed down by the water specifically, just walking around the black flies, they are just, and then you always walk through that cloud of little flies. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a cyclical one, meaning that they're only going to be there for a few weeks and then they'll go away. Usually fly and attract onto white. That's the, and I'm forgetting the name of the bug that comes from the water, but it usually, and you could just vacuum those guys there. You should just vacuum them up if you ever have those. Ticks are also high population of ticks right now. So
yeah, check your pets, guys.
Yeah. So if you're walking, in long grass or working around your garden space in long grass, you got to check out for that. So it's kind of mosquitoes, just a reminder, mosquitoes, they're attracted to dark color clothing. So if you wear lighter color clothing, you'll be a bit good. If
you get sweat, one fly, but you don't get the other flies, so you choose your flies.
You got it. And they're really, you know, when we breathe out, what do we produce when we breathe out?
Carbon dioxide, and mosquitoes love it.
Yeah, that's the attractant. So sometimes you'll wonder, hey, when I'm working out, I'm getting more mosquitoes, or when I'm active in my backyard, you're breathing heavier. And if you
you have a drink.
Yeah, alcohol.
Yeah, heats your body up, you get a little loose, but the mosquitoes will find you. You're attracting maybe what you don't want to attract.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it takes all the fun out of gardening. But,
Okay, so two questions for you. You mentioned the frost damage. So I didn't have any answer for my frost damage because I didn't have any. But you did have some. And we noticed it specifically on your basil. So if someone's saying, okay, frost damage, but how do I know that it's frost damage? And what do I do about it once I do identify it?
So frost damage often on foliage will look to be either almost silvery on some plants, like a silver kind of almost blistering that happens on the foliage of some plants. So that, for instance, on an eggplant. That's what that would look like. And it would look the same on many of the cucumbers and squashes and things like that as well. On peppers, it could be a little bit of a white marking on the leaf, usually on the tips of the leaves. Hmm. On basil, it as well can be silvery to white. And then if it's only light, a little bit of frost, and maybe let's say that only a third of that plant's leaves are covered with that, you can just pick those guys off, pinch it back, and generally the plants will come back. And I had a light frost. So I'll tell you what I did. And we'll talk about my backyard as well, because you talked about yours too, is that I was like, I'm not covering my plants. It's like the end of May, right? And even though I tell people to cover plants, so I gave everything a heavy watering. So I looked at the temperature and I thought, if I do a heavy watering, then when it gets cold enough, the water actually releases heat, and there should be enough heat around my plants that I won't have damage. And the only thing where I had damage in was my containers, because they're a little higher up.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
So that was the only thing. And
they're big containers too. So did the water sink to the bottom?
So the damage didn't happen as much on my troughs. It actually happened in my other pots. So I have some 10-inch pots of herbs. So it just, you know, it wasn't as much soil mass around there to insulate them and to help them out. But I've done my troughs. I planted a bunch of stuff in my backyard. At the beginning of the month, when previous owner of this house, so my previous house, Amanda, how big was my gardens in my previous house?
Your previous owner was not exactly a gardener.
Yeah.
No. But did they love flagstone? Yes, they sure did, which is like the opposite of garden. There was not a lot going on, guys. It was just basically a strip of grass and a strip of rock.
Concrete.
And it's looking great.
Yeah, I was depressed at the beginning of the year when I didn't have any plants back there, because I moved in November. And so I went at it on a weekend over the course of the Victoria Day weekend. And my neighbor to my left, Mike, said to me, "What took me 8 years to do on my property took you 3 days."
And look at the tan you got. Oh my goodness, you guys, this guy tanned so quickly.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that. So it's amazing a difference what plants can make in a space, how they can create a feeling.
What I want to hear is where someone maybe, why would I listen to the podcast? Oh, well, I get a little nugget that I wouldn't get anywhere else on Frank's social media. I want to know the method to the madness. Why did you pick the plants you picked? What plants did you pick? What was kind of your goal for your garden?
So first thing I needed to do is create privacy, because, you know, my two previous homes, I lived on a street called Nottingham Forest. There was a lot of trees on that street. Before that, I lived on a street called Forest Valley. There's a lot of trees. And now I live on a street.
Well, it's called Forest Valley.
Yeah. Now I live on an area that's basically no trees. And so all these houses were looking in, because I went through a divorce, and this is life. And this is my transition home, I would call it, and my transition garden. But I need to create privacy. So there's a couple different options. You can go, because the properties are not that big, you're looking usually at columnar trees. So, you know, I could look at a hornbeam that's more pyramidal. I could look at a columnar oak that's great. It holds its leaves long, but a little bit slower growing. And what I really ended up planting was an Armstrong columnar maple, faster growing. But the other reason why I chose that maple is it has like this amazing fall color. So I'm just visualizing in the fall when I look out my back windows that I'll just see this vibrant red to orange, which is fantastic. And then I put some cedars in the back, just some pyramidal upright cedars. Degroots is probably my favorite variety, the hardiest variety. The reason why I did that was I wanted somewhere where birds could hide, because I wanted to see birds in my backyard. Then I put a couple clematis, because I just always kind of like clematis. And also I like the look of a vine. I then could put a couple peonies that were in here. I have a couple new varieties of perennials I'm testing right now. I have a bunch of annuals that I'm testing right now for a couple breeders to see how they turn out. And there's the one, and we'll show you this later on. You saw the petunia yesterday. It was dark, almost stunning. Black with white little specks. It almost looks like the night sky.
It looked like a paintbrush had been flicked at the top of it. It was just stunning, stunning. It's really cool to hear about testing plants and all of that. How does that go about? So when you test a plant, you're obviously starting to see how to take care of it, how hardy it is, you know, would someone buy this? But where do those plants come from?
So first off, for development, from breeder's bench to gardener's fence is usually about 5 years. That's how long the development happens. there are plant breeders. Many of them are actually in Europe and Israel. There are breeders as well in Costa Rica, Guatemala. There's breeders all over the world specifically. So this company called Ball Horticulture, which is one that represents a lot of breeders. Specta Duman is one of the breeders that will send trials and others. What happens is they'll send us already developed plants that they think are the next releases that they want. They'll send them to many different garden influencers and other growers. Mm-hmm. These same plants actually had trials in many garden centers this year to see how they performed, how people enjoyed them. And then what'll happen is we'll see how they perform in the garden or in a pot to see how vigorous they are, bloom counts, how long those flowers last on there, disease and insect resistance to them. And then from that, these are the plants that will then get chosen to be put in production at greenhouse growers and offered at everywhere from an independent, with independent garden center is IGC. That's the term in the world.
You're now to, in, guys. You're in, yeah, when you start to get all the terms.
to you know, your mass merchants, your big market, Walmarts, Home Depots, Lowe's, Loblaws, Sobeys, Canadian Tires, and all those. So
interesting.
You know, there's a lot of work goes in to make sure that, because the key is, you know, just even a release today that we spoke about on Breakfast Television, that more people are gardening than ever. And now people would rather garden, young people would rather garden or go to a garden store than go to a nightclub.
Seriously. Oh my goodness. Yes. Seriously. Yeah. Seriously. Yes. Hands up for that. Oh, I actually was thinking, do you know what would be really cool? Let us know, guys, on Frankie's social media or Facebook if you would want us to put this together. So I think it's so cool when I hear about gardeners who are saying, I'm planting this now because I'm going to see it later. And that jogged my memory too, when you were talking about your tree. Oh, I plant this because it's nice and full, provides that coverage for birds in the summer, but I can't wait to see it in the fall. And I think it would be so cool to create some garden formulas where, wow, you know, you're planting this and that, and it's going to pay off all year long. I know we've talked a little bit about spring. You know, we were looking forward to those daffodils and all those things, and now that season's very much over. But what would you tell people to plant now that they could really see the fruits of their labor in the fall?
So first off, let's talk about ROI, return on investment. Okay.
Here's another one. Ding, ding, ding.
You got it. Return on investment. Anytime you plant a tree, the return on investment is going to be there, tree and or shrub, especially trees and evergreens, because they're going to get bigger. So even though you plant something that's right now you had to pay $50 for in 3 to 5 years, it's that much bigger. It's worth all of a sudden $300, $400. Even the properly placed tree in front of your home, if it's southerly facing, could shade the front of the house during the summer months, reduce your air conditioning costs, loses its leaves, and then can heat the home later on in the season. So those are some really good things. What are some things that you could plant right now that you can enjoy the fruits of your labor? Well, it's still early enough to go out there and buy some mature tomatoes and to still kick on that vegetable garden. It's also a good time to maybe even purchase some seeds that we can sow later on in the season in August. So as summer temperatures cool down, we could sow in some radishes again. We could put in some spinach again for late crop. So there's that. Mm. There's so much that can be done here and planted. And then the other good thing that you could do right now that you can get a lot of benefit is if you have any friends that have some established older gardens, they will need to divide and to thin them out. It's not the best time to do it in the summer months, but for hostas, daylilies, sedums, those guys, they are bulletproof. Go grab some. If you are a new property owner, you know, tell your friends that you want to steal some of their plants or you want to make their garden a collection of your friends. So there's lots to be done. There's lots to be done. Prices are quite high right now too. So you got to be smart because some availability, just looking in nurseries right now, if I looked at a Limelight hydrangea, forgive me, in 2019, a 3 gallon would have been a very well, nice established plant. And that 3 gallon would have been maybe $40. Now that 3 gallon is half the size and could be $10 more.
Yeah. My parents have these ginormous pots of birds of paradise. And now that they've matured, they've had them over a year, but they already started really big. I'm worried these things aren't going to fit in their house into the winter. But they were saying they went to a garden center and it was up to the hundreds to buy a couple of these. And a little bit of a note, if you guys are looking for hostas, Bonnie and Rob, they have been splitting like crazy at the bottom of their yard. They are looking to get rid of these things. What I do find cool though, Frank, is sometimes when you get those split hostas, you might get a generic variety. They said they had never purchased a hosta until this year because they wanted to get some nice white variegation. So right. It's almost kind of cool. Like you are planting a garden now and it's meant to grow. So you could plant one hosta and then know that next year you're going to split it and just go from there. And that could be your investment in the future.
Yeah, that's where gardening becomes like life, right? Is that yeah. Sometimes your garden is never done. Life is mm-hmm. never done. Your garden will always need a little bit of care and love, maintenance. So that's like your life. Sometimes you got to thin out, purge, right? Purge your garden. Sometimes you need mm-hmm. to purge your life. That's what's great about moving, is you can get rid of the things that maybe have been bogging you down over time. And then sometimes what you do want to do is bring things into your life that are going to give you more joy and happiness. So that more whiter variegation in that hosta could be something that you wanted to bring you joy. So it's something that you want to invest in. So that's why gardening, I think, has so many similarities to life, is that it's a living, breathing thing that's always changing. That's always a variable. So even though you think something may work, like in life, that plant may die. It may not be the wrong choice, yeah. but you find the groove over time. So that's why for me, and I've been speaking to a lot of kids lately.
You have had a kindergarten class every day.
Every day. I've been doing kindergarten classes every day.
Trying to book you has been tough.
Yeah. But I've been loving it because, you know, kids, I think, can learn a lot about environment, community, and life through growing a plant and then growing a garden. Mm-hmm. And just to show them that, you know, the effort you put in, you're going to get great results. You can go plant a tomato, right? You can go plant a tomato plant. But if you put no effort into it, if you don't water it, if you don't take care of it, if you're like, here, I'm just going to put it to the, there and just do your own thing. Well, it's not going to give you tomatoes. It's not going to give back to you. Or if it does, you're super lucky because maybe we had some rain.
Your neighbor is watering it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you never know. Sometimes it's amazing what plants can do, the resilience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like a child, you know, a child that has love, care, and attention will be a loving child and should be a really good benefit to community. A tomato plant that's taken care of will give you more tomatoes, and it's better than therapy.
Yeah, it's so true. One of my favorite little, it is. That's actually a really good point, because I've found now having my garden, I was looking at Scott, my partner, the other day, and this was before or right after I had planted this.
He's your fiancé.
He's my fiancé. Sorry, I'm not used to it. I'm just not used to it. I need to flex that for a bit. We're looking into buying a house, guys. So we're like, we're going to be fiancés for years to come. So it'll be fine.
But I love it when he says my fiance.
My fiance. Because it's almost like just adding a French word into the middle of exactly. but I was saying to my fiance that I don't know why I waited so long. So this is almost the call to action to you guys. I have a very small balcony and it's got beautiful fake grass on it. I never have to cut it, but it gives that vibe of a little bit more coziness, a little bit more hominess. But it's just kind of like I look out there now. And I just love it so much. And I ask myself, why did I wait? And I think so oftentimes when it comes to planting a garden and doing things that make us happy, once you start to make those steps towards getting it done, you're going to look back and be like, why did I wait? But put that thought aside and just kind of move forward with it. I don't know.
You know, I think that's a really good point, because sometimes people, even on their properties, with the tree, they're like, oh, I'll get to it next year. Mm-hmm. 3 years goes by and it's amazing how big that tree could have been and how much lost opportunity in terms of purifying the air, providing habitat for wildlife, making yourself feel better. That same tree now, if you would have bought it 3 years ago, now it's grown. So it's doubled in value in those 3 years.
That's it.
So
that's it.
A lot of the times, you know, you got to get what, like, sometimes people criticize in my life or criticize me that I'm always trying to do too much. But a lot of the times I just like get shit done.
Yes.
PSD, man.
Yeah, you do. I love that quote where it's the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago. And the second best time to plant it is today.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
So I got this Monstera from a friend of mine And if you guys don't know what a Monstera is, please look it up.
Where have
it
you been if you don't know what a Monstera is?
Where have you been? It's been trending for years now. It was actually trending. It was, you couldn't find one anywhere.
Yeah.
But my friend Sabrina and her partner Stacy, they split their Monstera and gave it to a bunch of friends. And we have a little piece, little in asterisks, it's ginormous, a piece from their plant. And every time their parent plant has a leaf, we have a leaf. And they check in with everyone they gave the plant to. And every single time their plant has a new leaf, ours does too. And I want to know if there is anything that you've ever heard behind that.
Belief.
Do you believe it?
Do you believe it? Oh my goodness.
I can't believe.
From a science perspective, if you look at the amount of daylight hours that she's receiving where that Monstera is and you are receiving. So if you look at the time of year and based upon, you know, are you getting leaves when we don't have a lot of daylight hours? So in the winter months, then that's pretty special. If it's in the spring and summer months, when our daylight hours grow, that's when plants are more active and growing. That's when they're going to put more leaves on. So that's where it's like cool, but makes sense. Where it's like, wow, is in the winter time because you would be turning your lights on in your home at a different variables than what she would. And then also we're just so low light. To be having leaves come on in the winter months. So in the months of, even from late October all the way through to the end of February, that is where you go.
Well, then my mind's blown because it has been so consistent. And on the note of sunlight and daylight hours, I spoke to my doctor today and I was just talking about some things, which I will not disclose on this podcast. Guys, we're not that close. But she was saying, Canadians pretty much across the board. Now, I'm not a medical professional, but I'm sure some of them can back me up, is that almost all Canadians are completely deficient or depleted of vitamin D. So still wear your sunscreen, but maybe talk to your doctor about a vitamin D supplement. Could be good to raise that tiredness.
Yeah, we don't naturally produce vitamin D. We actually need the sun for that. So it's something that's, and it's also in terms of happiness and emotional. So if your vitamin D is vital and even helps boost your immune system. So I take a vitamin D supplement every morning.
Oh, I need to do that.
I do that. I do fish oil, vitamin D supplement, B12. Those are the ones that I do every day.
Check in with your doctor. Frankie, I need some virtual vitamin D to end this podcast. A peak of the week.
Peak of the week.
Yeah.
For me. Well, it was a big week, right? Because I did a lot of planting. Just kind of reflecting back, you know, Sunday afternoon was a rare afternoon. I'm somebody that generally likes to work in the garden, and I'm generally somebody who doesn't usually sit in the garden. So Sunday afternoon, I actually just took the afternoon to read in my backyard and to sit and enjoy what I planted a few weeks earlier. After one cooler, two cooler, three cooler, I said, that's enough.
Four.
Exactly. But my peak of the week was just the simplicity of being, you know, once you go through a period of time when you're with your family and you're with a spouse, and then all of a sudden that ends for you, it takes a very long time to get comfortable just being on your own.
And so, still.
Yeah. So that is a peak of the week because it was just great being on my own, doing my own thing, looking at a robin. And I was like, I'm mad at the robin because now he's going to the bathroom on my patio furniture all the time. But it was my peak of the week. How about yourself?
Oh, I love that one. Hashtag growth. Peak of the week. Peak of the week. When you don't have an answer for the question you ask and you're asking Frankie Flowers and you know he's going to ask you back. So my peak of the week. I think Scotty and I have really gotten in a groove with Rosie. This is our little pup. She is about 5 months old now. And what we have been doing, you guys, she's a pandemic baby. So that means that we've been with her every single moment. But we were recently watching a video and it was two people out for dinner. And we were thinking, oh my goodness, we need to crate this girl so we can go out for dinner. So my peak of the week, I think, is we have been taking her for a walk, kind of tiring her out, then putting her in her crate, not saying anything, and walking out the door, being classic parents, listening at the door for her barking. And we'll leave her around 15 minutes now. When we come back, she's just sitting there, laying there in the crate. And I'm definitely confident that when real life returns, We are still going to hold some of this togetherness at home, but we are going to be able to do the things we want to do. So it's all good over here.
These are valuable lessons, because with your first kid, you'll treat your first kid like that. Your second one, you won't.
I know. I was the second child. So you just pick up the soother. It was in the dirt. It makes him stronger. Put it back in. Well, Frankie, episode 8.
There it is. Episode 8. We hope you thought it was great. We know we were late. So we're so sorry, but we still feel that we deserve an 8 out of 10. No.
That's pretty reasonable. Hey guys, you can catch us on Lifeseeds Podcast on Instagram. And Frankie, where can we find you?
At Frank Ferragini on Twitter, of course, and on Instagram at Ask Frankie Flowers on Facebook Live.
And I'm Amanda Weldon. You can find me at Below the Blonde on Instagram and my growing community on YouTube as well, where we talk about mindfulness and a little bit more intention. But that's our week, our episode 8, and we have 2 coming for you every single month. So be sure to subscribe.
And be great. Episode 8.